Welcome to Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Stranger, Charlie Palillo, and Josh Jordan. You can find them on X at Palillo and at JoshJordan975. And in between episodes of this show, you can read their blogs covering all things Houston sports over on our flagship site, sportsmap.com. On today's episode, the season's finally underway. The Cam Smith era begins, if you want to call it that. We get our first look at the new lineup, and they say no news is good news, but that remains to be seen for pitcher Luis Garcia. Guys, let's get right into it. Astros open the season with a win, but a nail biter. Fromber goes 7 shutty, 90 pitches, 4 hits, 4 strikeouts, 2 walks. Cam Smith singles on the first pitch of his career. I don't want to be on pace guy, but considering the way that Thursday's game played out was very similar to how the 2024 season played out from game to game. If you had to project how this season would go, is this going to be kind of the narrative? Low scoring, lots of pitching, grinding out tough wins?
Well, lots of quality starting pitching needs to be the form if the Astros are to continue their run of consecutive postseasons. But let's get to the immediate elephant in the room. All the panic, no doubt, over Josh Hader. What do you wind up throwing? 97 pitches in the ninth inning? But you know what? It was opening day. Drama was a good thing. Crossed my mind before making the mad dash from the ballpark. I still have a little speed. Wouldn't it be something if Juan Soto gets an at-bat here in the ninth, and the only way to do so would be to be at least the tying run at the plate. And after Hader, wild, gives up a couple of two-strike hits, and then Lindor goes well out of the strike zone, hits a ball on the button, but well within the ballpark. Hey, it gets Soto up there. Looks like Hader wants no part of him, goes 3-0, then throws a slider for a strike on 3-0, and then 3-1. Soto, I guess, was guessing gas because that was a feeble wave for the last out. That was exciting. That was much more fun than mundanely a 1-2-3 ninth inning. You don't want to make a regular dose of that. But with the full house, the bunting, the ballpark looking great. So, yeah, there'll be plenty of time to panic about Josh Hader. But don't extrapolate this outing to think he's going to have a 9.00 ERA for the season. He's freaking Ken Giles. Now, Ken Giles never had $76 million more on his contract, minus one game. Abreu, a 3-walk, 8th inning. It's one game. So to make much ado about anything good or bad. So on the plus side, you mentioned Cam Smith gets the hit on the first pitch. The offense overall was eh, but it's one game. But for those saying this is how they started last season, 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position. Well, the Mets were 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position. The biggest takeaway was Fromber was tremendous. Stretching it out, going 89 pitches for his 7 scoreless. Of course, Abreu and Presley better be better than that. And they will be. They almost can't help but be. But defensively, Altuve, no real challenging plays. Nice little running catch that Jake Myers deferred, I think, to let him get his feet wet. Paredes, a nice play on a ball in the hole at third. Alex Bregman beginning his Red Sox career 0-for-4. So, Hader aside, plenty of time for angst. It was a good opening win.
As far as it being like that every game, I don't think so, Brandon, because I'm not expecting Altuve to strike out 3 times in every game, Paredes to go hitless, Yordan to go hitless, Christian Walker to 1-for-4. But there are some things within what they did, right? Christian Walker like plastered the ball 3 times, like over a couple of them over 111 miles per hour. Paredes worked some great at bats. I mean, it's like almost every time he goes up there, he gets a 3-2 count. So I love that he saw a lot of pitches. He got a big walk right there. The other thing, Pena, nice to see him get a hit there. He smacked that one up the middle. I was a little worried since he's come back to Houston in those games against the Space Cowboys. He kind of turned back into old Pena, beating the ball back into the ground again. So nice to see him get some lift on it there. Cam Smith, awesome, comes through. Base hit, that was big. Brendan Rodgers, he didn't do much today, but that walk was important. And I remember thinking at the time, would Dubon have gotten a walk in that spot? Maybe not. So I like seeing that. It was interesting they put McCormick in there for a defensive replacement in the 8th inning, even with Cam Smith coming up. I guess that's something that Espada is going to continue to do. Let's see, anything else? Jake Myers with a couple hits. How about that? What if he's able to just give you a little something at the bottom of the order? I really felt overall, this did feel like a different team. You got some guys, unlike Jose Altuve, that take some pitches and make these pitchers work a little more. You're able to chase a starter out of the game a little earlier than we saw a lot of that last year, where guys would just cruise through seven innings. So I like the makeup of the team. Fromber was just terrific. I was a little worried with him getting on the umpire for a couple close calls that didn't go his way, but no big deal. That's what's so great about Fromber. He gives you something like that on opening day, something you can hang your hat on. Offense comes around. And then finally, we'll get to the hater and Abreu. I was a little concerned. My issue with Abreu was he was hitting 99 miles an hour, yet he was afraid of his fastball for most of that inning. You know what? He walked three straight guys. So that's a little bit of a concern. And it brought up Nimmo, somebody that was 1-for-2 off him in his career with a home run. You lose that advantage of pitching against righties with that slider with all those walks to Nimmo. They got a little lucky there. And my issue with Hader is he got 0-2 count on like three straight guys. He just can't finish anybody off. 95, 96 is as hard as I saw him throwing. I know it's the first game of the year, but I just got a little worried. Every time a hitter swung, they made contact on Hader. He could get no whiffs today. But luckily, he got the one big whiff he needed on Juan Soto. Through that slider, they got the win. So I'm with you, Charlie. I'm not panicking about these guys. It's the first game of the year. But it's something, you know, it's something to be concerned about with Hader. He threw over 30 pitches today. How available is he going to be if they need him tomorrow? So just kind of being balanced there. There was some great stuff, and there was some stuff where you're like, well, that's not good for tomorrow. Will Hader be available?
Sean comments that Hader's out of the circle of trust. I don't know that he was ever back into it. I want to circle back, speaking of circles, to Cam Smith, because obviously he's been the focal point of the news locally. He was part of that viral video with Joe Espada announcing that he was going to make the opening day roster. A lot of media people have taken their medicine over this, and I will take mine right here as well. I said that I thought there was very little chance that Smith would make the opening day roster, especially in a position that he's never played before in his entire career, collegiate or otherwise. But here he is, opening day, playing right field for the Astros. We also said Zach Zinzo was going to be an either-or thing with Smith, because Joe Espada said out of his own mouth that he wasn't going to put these guys on the roster unless he thought they were going to get regular ABs. What did you guys think? Because we haven't reacted since the announcement came down, and here we are on the opening week. What did you guys think of the decision to go with both Smith and Zinzo on this roster, and any other roster moves that you want to comment on?
Well, Smith is their elite prospect, so he's here to be in the lineup probably 4 days out of five. Chaz McCormick is the backup / defensive replacement. DeCenzo, yeah, you'd rather have him getting regular at-bats than being on the bench, except that he's not a premium prospect. He's about to turn 25 years old. He's a corner utility guy, right? He did start a dozen games for the Astros at first base when they were in a playoff race last season. So he's an alternate to Walker there. He also is a very inexperienced outfielder, and Paredes is going to be in there most days at third base. So there's just got to be a lot of time for him. But you want a couple of guys on the bench that you're thinking, well, in a pinch or an injury or an ejection, someone you want to put in that you're hoping has some chance in the batter's box. And where is opportunity really going to open up for DeCenzo anyway? So that if he goes to the minor leagues and hits 375 and you need to get him in the major leagues, well, where? Unless Cam Smith flops, right field's not open. Altuve is in left field and staying there unless second base becomes a complete disaster or Altuve is a disaster in left field. Christian Walker and Paredes are under team control for 3 years apiece. So DeCenzo's role is going to be as an extra guy. And if circumstances open up more playing time for him, so be it. But he is more on the Joey Loperfido end of the spectrum as a prospect than he is Cam Smith. So needing to get him playing time isn't even secondary to Cam Smith's role. It's all Cam can eat. When will the time approach where you're comfortable not pulling him out defensively late in pretty close games? He was overly aggressive on one ball in right field. Well, that's the OJT at the big league level. He'll probably lose a ball in the lights here or there, or get a shaky jump or a route path to track a fly ball. In that one, a little in between, fortunately, he got his body on enough that it didn't go all the way by him to the wall. But when you are giving a special prospect a shot, you're willing to incur some of the temporary, you hope temporary downsides defensively that come with that. His weakest swing of the day was probably the hit. He was late on a pitch on the inside half, but he made contact and then found the hole. Really had a shot for a hit that Lindor made a spectacular play on in the hole and got him by a half step. But to get that first hit in that first game, in the first at bat, on the first pitch, a lifetime memory for the guy. And, you know, throw a quarter in the pool. The first of how many career hits as an Astro for Cam Smith? Wonderful world. The number begins with a 2 and not in the hundreds.
For me, well, you guys know you were there. I thought Cam Smith would make the team. I thought he'd play right field when we did a couple videos back ago. I got to the point there at the end of spring training where I was just like, eye test is just too good. And then, you know, Cam Smith comes out. He looks good in that exhibition game against the Space Cowboys. And then he also made that great catch against the wall. That I think that kind of sealed it as much as that hit that he had before that. I think with DiZenzo, Espada said something kind of interesting when they were talking about Christian Walker. Christian Walker said, I'm ready to go. I'm good to go every day now. I'm fully healthy. And then Espada was like, yeah, he may feel that way, but I'm going to closely monitor Christian Walker, you know, with him just now coming back. And he also said there's a reason we put the lineup and the roster together the way we did was to account for that, to keep a close eye on him. So in my opinion, that means I'm not necessarily sure Christian Walker starting every game in this Mets series. I think DiZenzo is there to give Walker a little bit of a break as he's still getting past this oblique injury. If it wasn't for Walker's oblique injury, in my opinion, and the way Espada was talking, I think DiZenzo would be playing every day in the minors right now. But because they don't want to push it with Walker this early in the year, I think DiZenzo is going to fill in for him a little bit as he's getting over this oblique injury.
If you get a day off per week, you start 135 games for the season. That's a pretty full workload, not the 150, 155 plus that you expect of the very, very best players. But if you can spot a DH start here or there, now how Joe Espada parcels those out, right? Yiner Diaz is going to catch every day, but every day he's not catching, you're not going to want that bat on the bench. When Altuve needs a day off, if they really want to steer clear of putting him at second base, well, he DHs, Yordan is left, so you don't get a spot there. But if you get a day off per week for either right field or left field, first base or third base, there are probably a couple of starts per week there, an opportunity for Zach DiZenzo if he hits. Potential real odd man out initially is Mauricio Dubon, because Brendan Rodgers nudges him out for the first shot at second base. And the super utility role, well, where are all the spots for Dubon to get playing time?
In the era of overreaction with the reports that were coming out with Cam Smith's preseason where he's mashing and then the announcement that he makes the opening day roster, a lot of the Chicago fans and media started becoming a little bit more uneasy with the Tucker trade, going, oh, we paid too much for rentals, sentiments like that. But considering that Houston likely wasn't going to be able to re-sign Tuck, and considering what they got back and what they've been able to field with the return on that trade, when do we get to really see who won the Kyle Tucker trade?
It was a sensible trade for both teams, but the blows up in your face factor sits almost all with the Cubs. Now, they're the preseason favorite, not by any great distance, but the preseason favorite to win the National League Central. If they do that and they're in the postseason and they make a little bit of a run within that postseason, and Kyle Tucker, to break up his career monotony, hits in the postseason, even if it's 1 year, you know, if you grab the gusto and glory with it, or even make a spirited run at it, you can justify your end of the deal. But if Tucker's a one-year guy and Cam Smith becomes an at least a six-year guy for the Astros, and throw in a regular third baseman in Paredes, and we'll see if Hayden Wesneski settles in as a number five starter, the Astros' end of the swap could turn out to be tremendous. I mean, you want to go crazy about it. This is a deal that while you gave up a prime player in his prime, you know, total war accrued when we add it all up, you know, it's going to have a ways to go to reel in Jeff Bagwell for Larry Anderson, Josh Fields for Yordan Alvarez. But 6 years, Cam Smith will be basically making the minimum salary for three of those 6 years, Wesneski is cheap, and even Paredes, you know, just an arbitration guy for another couple of years. So if Cubs fans want to freak out about it, let them. But their best prospect was a third baseman who's playing for them in Matt Shaw. They had have a first baseman, Michael Bush, who had a very good year for them last season, and they weren't thinking outfield for Cam Smith. So we can let the cookie crumble on this, but the Astros' potential upside is absolutely tremendous.
It is, and the Cubs, they want to make the playoffs this year, and hopefully not just the playoffs. They want to get to that, you know, NLCS game. I think they were willing to roll the dice on getting Kyle Tucker. We see these kind of things around the trade deadline. It just seems like the Cubs kind of decided, hey, let's do this earlier. Let's have Tucker for the entire season. I think that's kind of how this came together. And once Dana knew he wasn't going to be able to sign Tucker, he was like, all right, where can I get the most I can get for this guy? And thank goodness he did. I'm glad to see that they're planning for the future a little more instead of just letting guys walk after the end of the season. And you're essentially getting three starters for one. If Cam Smith continues to be your right fielder and Wesneski can stay in the rotation, I mean, I don't know how you can really ask for more. And I think Dana Brown said when it happened, we essentially got 13 years of team control to give up 1 year of team control. So it makes a lot of sense, but it's all really around Cam Smith. And I think Paredes too, that's part of it. If Wesneski doesn't amount to anything, I don't think that's the end of the world. I'm actually kind of high on him though, going through this Astros car wash, seeing what he's done this spring and, you know, him being from Houston, I think that could be a really big pickup. I think Paredes is a big one here because, you know, remember he's filling in for Bregman as much as Smith is filling in for Tucker. And I liked what I saw from Paredes today on defense, and he didn't get a base hit, but he did work at bats like Bregman, where he saw a lot of pitches where Yordan Alvarez was able to kind of take his time on deck and watch. Even Altuve didn't swing at the first pitch today. He took a couple pitches in his first at bat. So I think this is something that they needed to do. Now the lineup's a little more balanced. Not everybody is so swing happy. It's going to make it a bigger challenge for starting pitchers when they face the Astros.
It is a ridiculously right-handed lineup, and we'll see if that rears an ugly head component at some times, right? Yordan's the only lefty who's going to get regular swings, and Yordan's probably their best hitter against lefties.
Speaking of outgoing superstars, I did find interesting that Jim Crane, while meeting with the media on Thursday, said the team never revised their offer to Alex Bregman, and that contradicts the report that we got from local media. And we all looked at that with squinted eyes anyway, just wondering what camp released that. I think we know. Yes. Other news we got was Joe Espada said Luis Garcia's injured elbow, they got decent news on it. I want to make sure I got that right. Decent news. But the Astros are still awaiting a second opinion. I don't know about you, but when you're waiting on second opinions, that's never a good sign, regardless of how Espada's framing it as decent. This sounds really bad. What are the implications here? I know we talked about this a little bit earlier, but kind of looking at the big picture, Lance McCullers' progress, he's going to be getting into some more rehab games in AAA. What does this do to the long-term outlook for the starting pitching?
Garcia, to me, is a complete non-entity until we see him on the mound in regular season games, if we do, for the Astros at some point this season, right? At least McCullers, the AAA season starts this weekend, AA and lower starts next weekend. So McCullers will begin the ramping up process after the one inning in Florida. They don't potentially need a sixth starter until the 18th game of the season. And it's not like they need one then. That's just the first start. We're in a five-man rotation. A guy would go on 4 days rest. It's not like Fromber can't do that or a couple of other guys in their rotation. But if they wanted to go with the six-man when you have six games in 6 days, is McCullers ready toward the end of April? They could mix in a bullpen game. They could call up an A.J. Blueball for a spot start. It seems ominous for Luis Garcia, especially with him coming up on the two-year anniversary from his Tommy John surgery. So, you know, you want to flip a coin, who pitches next for the Astros in a big league game? I would say let's make it between Garcia and Christian Javier, because barring a setback, McCullers will get back before either of them.
Yeah, obviously, it's not good news. And it's concerning, too, that a lot of these rehabs from Tommy John for the Astros in general haven't been your typical, hey, the guy's back. We've seen a lot of setbacks and just other issues. I know McCullers has had a few different procedures, so it's not exactly apples to apples with him. But it does make the Wesneski trade a little more important if Garcia is not going to help you. It also, if we look long-term a little bit, if Garcia is going to possibly have to have another surgery, we don't know that, but for them to be saying they're talking about a second opinion, that's concerning. If he is headed down that route, then that puts a lot of next season in jeopardy too for him. So that's not good. This is not good news that they need a second opinion here, but at least there's a lot of depth in this starting rotation. We've seen the Astros trade for starters in the past. We think of Kikuchi last year. So if you need a guy, or like Charlie mentioned, you can go get Blue Ball from the minors. They have some other options, but I just hate it for Luis Garcia, man. Good dude, so much potential. And, here we go again. He's going to have to deal with more injuries. Hopefully McCullers, maybe it's finally the year that McCullers comes through when you really need him the most.
That would be awesome. Just a quick message. If you're interested in advertising your service or product on this show, you can contact our friends on the sales team at houston.sportsmap.com/advertise. The link is in the description. Final thoughts before we're out the door on this episode.
Well, if you want to overreact, because part of the fun of being a fan is overreacting, good or bad, laugh at the Texas Rangers bullpen. Right, for those touting, not wildly so, the Rangers as a team that can win or a pick to win the American League West. Right, Abreu and Hader induced agita for Astros fans in the opener. The Rangers bullpen lost their game, giving up 3 in the ninth inning to the Red Sox. They lost Kirby Yates. They lost David Robertson, the two horses in their pen. And Bruce Bochy, maybe a bullpen whisperer. He had a lot of work to do with that bullpen, and the Rangers have questions in their starting rotation. So Astros win. Fromber cruises basically through 7, doesn't give up a run. And I don't know what his mentality is, that the Astros didn't even approach him about an extension. Is he anger Fromber pitching for a $200 million contract, or is he just very serene about it and go about his business, which over the last 4 years he has those little spells, postseason or otherwise, where you're like, man, Fromber, clean it up between your ears. Bottom line, over the last 4 years, he's been one of the durable, best starting pitchers in the game. And even if it's in what turns out to be a walk year, it's in the best interest for the Astros that Fromber Valdez makes it 5 years of that.
For me, it's how they're going to play some of these guys over the next couple days. Christian Walker looked awesome today. That made me really excited because, like, oh man, we got a dude behind Yordan that can rake. I mean, he was hitting everything hard. So I love that, but I also want to protect him a little bit. He's just coming back from this oblique. I wouldn't hate it if we saw DeZinzo at first base either tomorrow or the next day, just to, because you're going to need Christian Walker this year and for the next few years. It's so early. Let's be careful with this guy. And then I thought it was interesting too. Espada said, hey, just because Dubon didn't play today and Rogers did, that doesn't mean that Rogers is your everyday second baseman. I would not be surprised at all if we see Dubon out there playing second base. And I think it should be just whoever's playing better, that guy should be playing second base. Rogers didn't do anything today to tell you, like, he should definitely be your everyday second baseman. You know, he got a nice walk, but that's about it. Played some decent defense. So, may the best man win. And Altuve, man, it looks like Myers maybe called him off and he caught the ball in front of him. Looks like Pena was calling for the ball and then Altuve called him off at the last second. Little worrisome there. So, but as the season goes on, it'll get better. It's just something to watch as Altuve gets used to playing left field. And when I saw, right field get replaced with Cam Smith coming out, immediately in my mind, I was like, they're going to leave Altuve in left field. Like, that's your best defensive option. But that's the way they went. And it was only the 8th inning. So I do wonder if it's like the 9th inning, something like that, if we start seeing Altuve come out in defensive situations at some point.
Josh, you and I were talking about this the other day after the show. We were talking about how Houston fans probably take Fromber Valdez for granted a little bit. I think because of the amount of winning that's happened over the past, 7, 8 years, 9 years in this city, and the ups and downs that Fromber's had. But man, I remember 2022 when the Astros are in the World Series and we go, man, at least they have Fromber at home for Game 6. That was such a big deal. So again, I think a lot of people, a lot of teams would be very envious to have a Fromber Valdez on their team. We'll end it there. One last reminder, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click like on the video. And if you listen on podcast apps like Apple or Spotify, please consider giving us a 5-star rating. Next scheduled episode is going to be on Monday. Thanks for listening. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying so long. And until next time, Go Stros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.